One of the things that is difficult is trying to get the sense of the author in the different books of the Bible, and particularly when you're looking at the Greek, if you're looking at, say, the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John is real easy to translate because Greek was not his native language, so it was pretty simple Greek. Mark was like baby Greek, but Paul... exactly. Lord have mercy. Paul's Greek was pretty weird. And so as I was looking at the epistle for today, I was looking at different translations of it. And gosh, there are as many different ways to interpret Colossians chapter 2 as there are people trying to do it. So I'm going to make it easy for you today. Miranda, if you put it up there, I'm going to give you the BLT translation. Okay. That's the Bill's Living translation, or the Bill's Literal translation, whatever you want. But anyway, so, or the Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato translation, whichever you like. So, anyway, this is just the first part of this epistle. As then you received Christ Jesus the Lord, live in him. Pretty simple. Having been rooted and grounded in him and having been established in the faith, just as you were taught, being abundant in thanksgiving. Okay, we live in him. We're rooted and grounded in him. Keep going. Be careful that no one will carry you away through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you have come to fullness in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Okay, you can take it back. Thank you. So that's the first five verses of this epistle, or this the epistle that we were reading today. But in verse 8, let me reiterate that. Be careful that no one will carry you away through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, last week, Father David ended his sermon with a parable. Apparently, he didn't have that in his sermon. It just came to him. So God must have been planning ahead because he was giving us the parable of the professor and the pickle jar. Okay? And this is going to be the pickle jar part 2. All right. Jack. Thank you, Jack. The pickle jar part 2. Let me reiterate the parable for you, okay? The professor has a pickle jar on his desk and he puts a large rock into the pickle jar and then he asks everybody, is that pickle jar full? And, oh yeah, it's full. And so he gets some gravel and he pours the gravel in around the big rock and fills it up. And then he says, is it full? And everybody, oh yeah, it's full. So he gets a little aquarium gravel, the fine aquarium gravel, pours it in, shakes it down, gets it in there. Is it full? And they're beginning to catch on. Well, maybe not, maybe not. So he gets some really fine sand and he pours it into the pickle jar. It works its way down. Is it full now? Well, maybe not. He pours in water, fills it all the way up to the brim. Is it full now? Yes, it's full now. Okay. And Father David tells us that the moral of that is you've got to put the big rock in first or it will never fit. All right. But there was a student who said when he asked, you know, what's the moral of the story? He says, well, it's amazing how much stuff you can cram into one pickle jar. Right? It is. It's amazing. But like that first student, you and I tend to try and cram as much stuff into our lives as we possibly can. It's a human fault, all right? It's part of our fallen nature, if you will. We stuff everything we can into that jar, which is our life. But the problem is, when we do that, then you can no longer see the big rock. picture that pickle jar. You have the big rock in there, but once you start putting all that other stuff in there, you can't see the big rock anymore. It's hidden. Jesus is the big rock, and the jar is our life. And this is all about Jesus. In verses 9 and 10, which we just saw up on the screen, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you have come to fullness in him who is the head of all rule and authority. We have the big rock in our lives. We're full. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in him, and he is in us. And with him, we have the fullness of God. And he is the head of all rule and authority. There really isn't anything else that needs to go in there. But we do. But we continue to put stuff in there. Each of us has the big rock in us by virtue of our baptism. Everyone in this room has the big rock in our lives. The jar is our life. The rock is Jesus. We've got what we need. But we don't stop. We begin to put a little bit of gravel of wants and desires into our jar. Oh, I want that new car. I want that big screen television. I want that vacation on the south coast of France. Well, maybe not. But anyway. And when we filled up with all that, then we go for the aquarium gravel of entertainment. We fill our lives with the noise and confusion of music and movies and videos and games. And we fill up every last minute of our days with various forms of entertainment. But there's still a little bit of room left. So we put the fine sand of social media. And I'm going to give you a hint. There's another sermon coming about social media. I don't know when, I don't know how, but it's going to come. There, you realize social media uses algorithms. And if you're clicking on something, it's going to keep giving you more and more and more and more of that thing. And it's going to keep filling up your pickle jar. Okay? The more time you spend on social media, the more time it's going to want you to spend even more time. It's a trap. Okay. So we fill up our pickle jar with the fine sand of social media, but there's still room. And so we put the water of the news media and political preoccupations in there as well. And on it goes and on it goes. And on it goes. We stuff as much as we can into the pickle jar. And now the big rock. Where is the big rock? The big rock is hidden. St. Paul said, be careful that no one will carry you away through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the elements of this world. And not according to Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's not about our wants. It's not what we think is best for us. It's not about the things of this world. It's about Jesus. And stuffing the little stuff in and around the big rock obscures the big rock. The big rock becomes hidden from even our own spirits. The big rock becomes hidden from the world. And the world cannot see the big rock in us when we are so caught up in things, the elemental spirits of this world. All right, so what do we do? Ask yourself. This is a simple test. Ask yourself, what am I surrounding? What am I doing? With what am I surrounding the big rock? That's what I'm trying to say. With what am I surrounding the big rock? So here's the test. And I do encourage you. This is not just a sermon and you go away and forget. I really want you all to think this one through, all right? Take this test. How much time do I spend on social media each day? How much time do I spend on social media each day? How much time do I spend watching news outlets or reading news on the internet? How much time do I spend watching videos, TV, or computer games? How much time do I spend in Bible study and prayer? Now, I'm not going to ask for anybody to raise their hands, okay? But, all right. How many of you tithe? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you tithe? All right. I am willing to believe that the vast majority of people in this parish tithe. If nothing else, we couldn't be doing what we're doing if we didn't have a tithing congregation. But, okay, so how many of you tithe? You realize the tithe is the first 10% of what we receive. Doesn't matter what it is, but whatever we receive, whether it's your paycheck, Social Security check, retirement check, whatever it is, you know, an inheritance, the first 10% belongs to God. Whatever we receive. All right? You do realize that time is a gift from God. Are you tithing your time? There are 168 hours in a week. Did you know that? There are 168 hours in a week. That means 16.8 hours of every week belong to God. Well, the 10%, the first 10% belongs to God. That's what the tithe says. The first 10% of our income belongs to God. That's what the scripture says. The first 10%, the 16.8 hours of your week, belong to God. And by the way, that means that 2.4 hours of every day belongs to God. We reorient our focus when we put that as the focus, that 2.4 hours of each day that belong to God. Thank you very much, Lola. We need to be, as Father David said, Mary's in a Martha world. We need to give the first to Jesus, to sit at his feet. And to give him that which belongs to him. Now, many people will tell me, 2.5 hours every day in prayer, Bible study? I don't have 2.5 hours I can give to God. It's the first 2.5 hours. Do you not realize this? Okay. You're fitting everything else in around that. And it's still going to be hard. Trust me. I understand. It's going to be difficult. But what if you just began to work on that? It's okay. Move toward it. Give the first moments of your day to God. When you get up, you don't have to spend 2.5 hours in prayer. I like it. I like to do that. I think it's a good thing. But you don't have to do that right away. But start by just, when you wake up, give the first 15 minutes to God. Just sit quiet. Well, don't get yourself a cup of coffee first so you don't fall back asleep, all right? But still, you know, give those first 15 minutes to God. Just saying morning prayers or reading a psalm or whatever. Just starting your day with God. Giving the first of your day to God. It will have tremendous benefits. It will make a huge difference in your life. So why should I tithe my time? I mean, the first 10% sanctifies the other 90. That's why. That's how the tithe works. When we give the first 10% of what God has given to us back to God, He will sanctify the other 90 to fill up all of our needs. If you have been a tither, Miranda and I have been tithers more than 50 years. And we have never wanted for anything. And we're talking about some pretty small salaries. You give the first 10% to God, He makes that 90% expand and fill up all of the needs. Okay? So why should you tithe your time? It's the same phenomenon. When you give the first 10% of your time to God, that other 90% is met. It is filled up with the fullness of Him who comes from the Father, Jesus Christ, the big rock. When I open my day with the Holy Spirit, then the whole day becomes His. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't going to be any problems. There are always going to be difficulties that will face you, but now they belong to Him. They no longer belong to me. I don't have to worry about it. Doesn't mean I don't worry about it. I was telling Miranda last week, was one of those weeks. Everything just seemed to be going wrong. And I said, you know what? I'm the rector of the parish. I can make an executive decision. And so I am going to make the executive decision that we have mandatory retirement at age 68. That way I can retire next year. That wasn't God's idea, so that one got pushed off to the side. But, it doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit has my day in His hands and I no longer have to worry about it. Secondly, when you begin the day in the Lord and the Holy Spirit comes on you in power, the fruit of the Spirit begins to be made manifest in us. And there's that love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control that begins to be made manifest not only in our lives, but things that we are looking for in the world. The big rock then becomes manifest in our lives and is no longer hidden by the other stuff, the little stuff. And as Father David said last week, we're called to be a Mary in a Martha world. And when we begin our day at the feet of Jesus, we're being that Mary. And no longer will the Martha world hold any power over us. So where is your focus? What are you putting into your pickle jar? The big rock, it needs to go in first. And as verse 10 says, and you have come to the fullness in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. That fullness, that word, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to use my own translation here. That word fullness here, it's in the perfect tense. That means that it was full when Jesus made it happen. It is full now while He is making it happen in our lives, and it will be full on into eternity. There will never be a time when Jesus will not be enough. You don't need to add anything else to the jar. Take a look. Take a look at the contents of your pickle jar. What have you poured in? What are you pouring in now? And what needs to be cleaned out? Can you still see the big rock? Well, clear out whatever is obscuring it. Will others be able to see the big rock in you? Make it clear. Give Him all glory. Amen.